The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4 through 25. You may read along from your pew Bibles beginning on page 2. Listen for the word of the Lord. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed it up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament text this morning, our gospel text, comes out of Mark. And for those of you who are reading the book, We Make the Road by Walking, you'll notice that this is not the Mark text for this week. I found myself moving in a slightly different direction than the author, and so rather than just sort of repeating what he has, I chose this text because I think it speaks to a significant portion of what's in the Old Testament story that we just read. So we're starting in Mark 12, beginning in verse 28. "One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked Jesus, 'Which commandment is the first of all?' Jesus answered, 'The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that the man answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. The word of the Lord. My wife, Cindy, was gathering a crowd of neighbors. We had just moved from San Antonio to the very almost tip top of the panhandle of Texas. And if any of you have ever seen the movie Castaway, at the very end where they come out on this sort of bleak, flat landscape, that is literally where we lived. And Cindy went out one day we'd moved into our first house, and so she decided that the windows were dirty, so she was going to wash them. And as she was washing the windows, people just slowly sort of wandered over from their houses, and someone finally said to her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm washing the windows." "No, no, no. Why are you doing this?" "Because they're dirty." And with knowing looks, they all just kind of glanced at each other and said, "You'll learn." And they walked off. Now, I have to say, this was very strange to us. But I don't know if it was 3 or 4 weeks later, a month or so later, I was out in the backyard with our kids. And our backyard was sort of the very northern edge of town. The only thing you could see from our backyard was prairie. And you could have seen sort of to Canada, except the earth curved. But up against the sky, off in the distance, I saw what appeared to be this massive curtain, just gray, reddish, brown. And I had no idea what it was. It wasn't a thunderstorm, because there weren't the high clouds. And then it dawned on me what it was. This was a dust storm. And it was headed our way. Probably several hundred feet high, solid, dense cloud of dust. And I went inside, and we stuffed stuff up against our double pane windows and under the doors, and we were convinced that we would be safe. Yeah, no. The dust came in under the windows. It came in under the doors. It came in any place when it could possibly get in the house as it darkened the sky all around us. And those clean windows, yeah, they were not clean anymore. And we understood why they were asking what Cindy was doing. Now, in our house, what you have to understand is dust is not our friend. Dust is something you get rid of. Dust is something you clean up. And after that, dust was really not our friend. And so living in the panhandle became a great challenge. And my guess is a lot of you here this morning, let me ask you, how many of you see dust as your friend? How many of you, when you see dust, you just want to clean it? Okay. All right. And I figure that's kind of the way it is with most of us. So what I want to do this morning, though, is offer you a different take on dust. A reason for dust to be your friend. A reason to understand that dust matters. And the reason is what's given to us in this second chapter of Genesis. This is the second creation story. We looked at the first one last week. This is the second one, and it's very different. Because here, the first thing God creates is man. And God creates man by taking the dust of the ground and by shaping and fashioning it into a human being. Now, what's interesting about this is that for a lot of people, a lot of us, as we sort of read through Genesis, we don't even slow down here. We just sort of glide right through the whole, oh, yeah, man was created from dust. Yeah, isn't that interesting? And we want to move on to the interesting stuff. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the snake, the temptation, Eve, the apple, right? We want to get to that stuff. And so the dust, yeah, it's kind of interesting, but now let's move on. But when we do that, when we sort of just glide right through it, we miss what I believe is one of the most important pieces of sort of biblical theology that there is in the Old Testament. This is on the par with the Great Covenant, with the Exodus, with Moses, and that is dust. But to get at the heart of this, we have to almost look beyond sort of Christian theology. We have to step back and look at Judaism. Judaism has mined this text for probably 2,500 years, trying to understand what this dust stuff is all about. And they've come to two kind of, I think, fascinating conclusions. The first is in their tradition, the great Jewish tradition. It is said that when God picked up the dust of the earth, God went to the four corners of creation and chose dust from each corner and molded that dust into the first human being, so that no person could ever say, my father is greater than your father. My people are greater than your people, because, hey, I know where the dust came from. It came from my country. It came from where my tribe lived. So I'm better than you. My family is greater than you. No, it is that God gathered the dust of all the earth so that every human being would understand themselves as coming from this same creative act. The second piece of the tradition comes from a rabbi named Rashi, who lived about the turn of the first millennia. And when he was talking about Torah and this creation story, this is what he had to say. That the first human being is neither white, nor brown, nor yellow, nor black. Rather, the first human being is drawn from the whole earth. Adam's dust represents all the variegated colors of the human species. No one is prior to another, neither higher nor lower. Every human being is created equally in the image of God. I want you to think about dust, dust you see blowing on the street, dust on the street corner in your home. It is not simply one color. It is all the colors of the rainbow. Red and brown and black and beige and everything in between. And what that says about our being created out of dust is that we are all created from the same stuff. None of us is better than the other. None of us is more loved by God than the other. We are all the same. We are people of dust. The second thing that this story tells us about dust is it not only connects us with every human being on the face of the earth, it connects us with creation itself. In this story, God takes Adam and puts him in the garden. And then God creates the garden out of, and this is where this really works, God creates the garden out of the ground, out of the same dust from which Adam comes. There comes all of the plants of the earth. And then when God realizes that Adam, well, he's pretty good, but yeah, he can't really do it all himself. And Adam needs some help, and Adam needs an ally, because that's really the Hebrew word that's used here, is Adam needs an ally. And God begins creating all the animals, right? Cattle, sheep, brings them to Adam. Where do these come from? They come once again from the dust of the earth, from the ground, from the same place Adam comes from. And so what Genesis 2 tells us is that we are one, not just with each other. We are one with all creation. And why this matters is that if you jump back to the first creation, okay, you jump back to that first story, the sort of the final moment of creation, sort of the crown of creation is human beings. The very last thing God creates. And God created them male and female in the image of God. And what a lot of people did was they said, okay, that means we're superior to creation. We get to do whatever we want with creation. But what this story says is, no, we're not superior to creation. We are, in fact, part of it. We're made out of the same stuff. The only thing that makes us different is our task. We are to care for creation itself. And I believe that these two ideas underlie they are the very foundation of the two great commandments that Jesus offers. Because when Jesus is asked the question, when he's being tested, okay, Rabbi, what are the two greatest commandments? And by the way, this is sort of one of those who's buried in Grant's tomb kind of questions. Right? It is like any good Jew, any rabbi would know the answer. But Jesus offers up the pivotal answer. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone around him goes, absolutely, you got it right. A+, you get 100 on the exam. You did well. Those are the greatest commandments. But the question is, on what are they based? Is it simply that God said, okay, here are the two greatest commandments? And what I want to say is no, that they're based on this second creation account. That we are to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength because we are God's creation. Because God took us from the dust of the earth and made us into living human beings. And not only that God created this world and gave it to us, and gave it vocation, and gave us meaning, and gave us structure. That is the epitome of what it means for God to love us, that God made us, and that God gave us this world in which to live. And so we are to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving our neighbors as ourselves? If you believe that we're all one humanity, if you believe that we are all the same dust, then when we love our neighbor, we're loving ourselves. To love our neighbor is to love ourselves because they are us and we are them. We are all one humanity. And I realize there are moments when it's not just hard for us to conceive, but hard for us to live, because we live in cultures and societies that want to divide us, that want to say these people are superior to these people were before others. These people are better. These people are worse. And especially in an election season, from all corners, it doesn't matter what political party it is, doesn't matter who they are, everybody wants to divide us against them. But the reality is, it's not us and them. It's just us. We are all made from the same stuff by the very hand of God. And so the challenge for us is to live that in our lives. It is to treat every human being we meet as us, as the neighbor who is to be loved, as the human being created from the same dust from which we are created. So that's what I want to offer you for this week, is to ask yourself this question. How am I loving neighbor as self, believing that everyone I encounter is a child of God made from the dust, just like I am? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have created us all. Help us to live that fully in all that we say and in all that we do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.